This episode is brought to you by New Balance. You don't have to be an elite athlete when you pound the pavement. Whether you've run 5 marathons or you only run when necessary, whether you're chased by bears, zombies, monsters, the apocalypse is coming. But New Balance will have you covered regardless. Whether you need shoes for comfort, stability, or race day speed, they've got you covered. Because the only right way to run is your way. New Balance. Run your way. Visit newbalance.com/running to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Go, My Favorite Sports Team. I'm Tyler Scheid, your illustrious host that knows the sports, joined by Mark.
Hello.
Who doesn't know the sports.
I don't.
Also known as Markiplier, the famous YouTuber.
They know who I am.
I'm just adding more to it.
They know who I am.
But we are joined by a special guest, a race car driver extraordinaire, rising star amongst the ranks, recent BMW M Motorsport Ambassador. Oh boy, that I had to remember that.
Uh-huh. You were practicing it like 10,000
times. I know,
but
my brain
started.
You threw me off.
You know,
what did I do? I didn't do anything.
It's your fault. It's your fault. But anyway,
I haven't done anything.
This is about our guest, okay?
Who?
Samantha Tan.
Hello.
Welcome. Actually, bring the mic close to your face.
Mm-hmm. Do I need to like talk really close?
No,
to
you don't. Yeah, have
I mean it.
To.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Crispy noise.
if you speak in normally like a really soft whisper, then be closer. But okay. If you're like me and you scream a lot, distance is good.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I have no idea. We've never recorded here before. We're at the Spotify studios, and they have these rooms for us to use, and it sure beats our. By a lot.
Our separate studio.
We'll cut that out. Our separate studio, yeah.
Our little shack of a studio that we usually record in. So,
But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about
race cars.
I'm assuming, unless you don't want to talk about race cars, because I represent the side of the audience that doesn't know anything about sports. Mm-hmm. Our whole objective is trying to like blend people that are not fans of sports or not sport people in general and have like this animosity towards sports, and then sports knowers who are just a bunch of big dumb jocks.
Who then attack me if I make the smallest little mistake, like talking about hockey not enough in depth.
Well, everyone attacks you no matter what on the internet because it's the internet and everyone's going to be mean no matter what. I mean, we've experienced that. Have you experienced that at all?
Oh, yes. Lots, like, tons.
Would you consider yourself an internet personality now?
I don't know. People call me like an influencer, but I still like don't feel like
I hate that term.
I hate the term influencer. I hate it. It's such a weird label to put on people. But what made you cross into that threshold where people started thinking you were an influencer?
I think it's just like the social media presence.
Yeah.
And stuff like this, I guess, like a lot of interviews. And
I think the differentiation is that if you run your own social media, you are more of an influencer, which in our field, the idea of not running your own social media, the idea of running your social media in general is just like, no, that's who I am.
Yeah.
It's me online. It's not an influencer. This is just literally my portal into the greater internet out there. But yeah, I'm assuming that's just how you got started. It's just like you had your social media and then people just wanted to follow you.
Yeah.
Influencer.
But I don't like the term either, influencer.
Yeah, it's strange.
You prefer the term race car driver then?
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. A little bit more badass.
On your tombstone, would it say race car driver?
Goes around in circles for a living, yeah.
Is it just circles, or do you have like more windy tracks?
We have windy tracks.
Good. You do the real racing.
Yes.
It's not the oval racing of just constantly left turn, left turn.
Not to knock on NASCAR.
No, not to knock on NASCAR, but knocking on NASCAR personally.
So come at me. What type of, literally, I don't know anything. And that's not a joke. I don't know anything
about, at all
about sports.
I sent him a
specifically
sheet, in fairness,
and I didn't read it.
Yes.
Very busy. But at the same time, what type of racing do you mm-hmm. do?
So I'm in sports car racing specifically. So there's F1, there's NASCAR, and then there's sports car racing.
You say obviously. I do not know this.
In all fairness, I know sport, and I don't know all the classifications underneath race car driving.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So even when I was looking through your resume of racing, I was like, how do I classify this? What is this? I know it's like a lot of it is endurance, but at the same time, what's the class of car?
Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it can get really confusing. There's a lot of different classes. Like you have all the different sports car classes from touring car all the way up to GT3. And mm-hmm. then you even have like driver classifications. Like, I don't know if you watch the racing, but there's like Pro-Am, Pro classes, Am classes. It's pretty overwhelming.
Yeah.
Why?
See, wait. This is why I did just the motorsports primer and not like each individual one, because there's so many diverse categories.
How many?
So many.
So that's not a number.
All the categories.
Okay, so do you have to specialize in one, or can you hop between the ones?
You can hop through all of them. That's how I started. I started like right at the bottom in touring car.
I thought go-karts was the bottom.
That's how most drivers get their start, but I didn't really? Get into go-karts actually. Yeah, most drivers, they'll start when they're like 4 years old. They're mm-hmm. like this tall.
That's what he always talks about. We have this running bit where he puts baby version of me, because we assume that if you want to go to the Olympics, you have to start when you're four. And it's like, when I was four, I was not in a go-kart. I was banging sticks on rocks by the creek bed, as far as I know. I don't even really remember falling down stairs.
You were just practicing for the Scottish Games.
What?
Yeah, you're just banging on rocks using sticks.
Is that what they do? Is that a real thing? Do you know anything about the Scottish Games?
I've never heard of this.
All right, good. Yeah, we're on the same page here.
Don't quiz me.
See,
I'm not
he
Scottish.
Sometimes makes me feel like an idiot on the show, but it's like,
I'm in the same position.
Yeah, I don't think I'm an idiot. I think he just knows way more niche things than I do, but my general base of knowledge is actually adequate, and I shouldn't feel inferior. So we're on the same page here.
There's a reason I'm the master of balls and holes, Mark.
They don't know what that term is. That makes you seem like a pervert.
Well, that was kind of the...
Anyway.
Yeah.
What is your category of racing?
So I'm in GT3, which is the top class in sports car racing. I race in Pro-Am, which is a driver categorization. To kind of go over it a little bit, there's this like racing sanctioning body called the FIA, and they basically rank all the drivers based on your experience. So I'm a silver, but I've been derogated to bronze just for this series. I know it's going to get really complicated, but there's four driver categorizations. It's bronze to platinum. All F1 drivers are platinum. If you're hired by a manufacturer, like you're paid by like Ferrari or BMW or something, then
BMW. I hear they make great cars.
Yes.
German engineering.
Sponsored.
Well, we don't know.
We're not
sponsored. Unless
BMW would like to sponsor.
I am in the market for a car, so.
You could buy a car at any time. For 3 years, you've been saying, oh, I don't have a car because you were using the car that I was lending you. And then when I was like, no, I want to give that car to my mom, you then didn't have a car for three
Which
years.
Which was fine. I work from home the majority of the time. The only time I go anywhere is to the studio or anything else.
But
anyway.
If BMW has any free cars lying around.
I'm just looking for deals, you know?
All right, so back to the topic. So it's like I hate to make this comparison because I don't play this game, but it's like League of Legends, where there's like bronze. You play League? Okay, I do not.
What about Valorant?
Not at all.
I play Valorant.
That was the one I was thinking of.
I can't do competitive PvP games.
It's toxic.
I get too into it, and I don't get toxic, but I just get this rage explodes out of me, and I've tried very hard in my life to not be angry all the time.
It's why you kind of stopped playing sports, if I remember right, because you're competitive.
fury that can come into.
Well, there's many reasons why. I'm lazy. I was tired. My knees hurt. My back hurt. So that's mostly why. Yeah. But back to the topic at hand, racing. So there's bronze, silver, gold. I'm some gold, gold and platinum.
Platinum. Yeah.
And pro-am. What does that stand for?
Pro-am is basically like. So in pro-am, you can run basically a bronze only. Mm-hmm. That's your am.
Okay.
And then your pro guy can be silver or higher.
What's an am?
Am is just bronze, basically. Amateur.
Oh! Pro amateur?
Yeah, professional and amateur.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah. Again, it gets really complicated.
This is how I feel when I talk to him about literally anything, because it's like there's so many nuances to it that I could never wrap my head around. Like, you okay?
You said the word. Sorry. I got excited.
What word?
Nuance. We haven't said it in like three episodes.
They don't know the context of that joke.
The stop audience doing,
stop doing inside jokes that are just going to make them feel like we're idiots. We run a professional operation. Out of a studio.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. You know, all those subscription websites, they just hide those charges from you. They're hidden and repetitive and you forget about them.
Oh, I know exactly which websites you're talking about. The ones that you like to go to.
You do? I've literally spent so long digging through my finances.
Rocket Money can help cancel your subscriptions.
You're saying Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings?
Absolutely, yes.
With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for me? Up to 20%?
Maybe. But for our listeners, definitely yes. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/sportsteam. That's rocketmoney.com/sportsteam. That's rocketmoney.com/sportsteam.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So you're in bronze right now,
mm-hmm.
Pro-am bronze, or is pro-am equivalent? That's what bronze means, pro-am.
No, bronze is basically like a stronger categorization. And then you can run a specific like lineup of like classifications in each class.
Okay.
Racing.
So what?
If that made it any easier.
It did not. It's all, my brain's so smooth right now. Just the wrinkles are just deforming. But what, okay, so I'm assuming your car has four wheels.
Yes.
Let's go back to the basic. Let's go real basic here.
We've got a door. We've got a steering wheel.
One door?
Two doors.
Steering wheel. I'm assuming an engine.
Yep.
Is there like a body around it? Does it have a trunk?
It does, actually.
So I know stock car racing
like NASCAR?
Is...
So NASCAR is... It's categorized as stock car, but it originated as actually being a car that came off the line as a stock model.
Yeah, because that's
but
what
then they
went
started
over.
Stripping it down.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like it's called stock car racing, but it's not really a stock car anymore because they strip so much out of it. Like it doesn't have a trunk. It doesn't have lights. All of these different parts are removed from it. So like it's stock car, but it's not,
mm-hmm.
which is. Weird, which
You've
is
lost Mark.
Yeah, which
no,
is why
I'm,
I was thinking I, your racing
no,
is
here.
More like stock car because a lot of the models of cars that are driven can be purchased
yes.
street legal.
Yes.
They're modified after the fact, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the actual like ability to buy the car, which is why the stock name was attached to racing. Yours is more in line with that than NASCAR.
So I was right. All of what he was saying was that I was on the right track.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, because it has the trunk.
So you're trying to make me look dumb, but I was on the right track.
No,
so
I knew it
wasn't.
Right.
I knew it wasn't NASCAR. I knew it wasn't because we made fun of them earlier. And if we're making fun of them, then that's obviously not what you do. So you said windy tracks. Now, I'm not completely ignorant. I've seen races. I've seen games. I've played Gran Turismo way back when. I think Gran Turismo 3, whatever was on the PlayStation 3. Did you grow up playing those types of games?
I did not, actually. I did the real thing.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, but you didn't start until what? You were 16?
16, which is like pretty late for a driver. I didn't know that this career path was necessarily available to me.
I started driving at 15 and a half. I got my license.
Which I was going to ask, did you just get your right license and your racing license at the same time?
Pretty much. Yeah, I got my driver's license when I was 15.
Is there a different line at the DMV? How did this happen?
Yes, Mark. Yes. We'll just say yes.
Okay, cool. I got the wrong line then. No, literally. How do you even get started? Because where do you go? That's my biggest question to him is like, for all these niche sports, every single one of them, no matter how big the fan base is, no matter how big the player base is, there's a place in a city for people to go. And I'm just completely ignorant to like, where even is this? Like, where did you grow up?
Toronto.
Toronto? Okay. So there's a racing building in Toronto?
No, there's a few tracks in the area, but they're all like an hour away. They're always super far. Or like go-kart tracks, for example.
Oh.
Yeah. But again, like most people start in go-karts when they're like 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. I did not. What got me into racing was really like my dad put me in these like performance driving schools because like Canadian winters are terrible and he wanted me to learn car control. And he was like, I want you to be safe on the road, right?
No.
And then at the end of one program, I got to sit in a race car and I got taken on a hot lap with a pro driver and just like all the G-forces and the braking, like had the biggest smile on my face. And like as soon as I got out of the car, I was like, I want to be a race car driver too.
That's crazy.
I was 14 at the time. But yeah, like my first race car was a 91 Civic. Basically, like the way that you start in sports car racing is you need to get your regional racing license. And to do that, you go to a racing school, you compete in like 6 races, and you have to like finish in good standing, and then they give you a regional license. And by the way, you can get your racing license pretty much like at any age. FIA specifically, though, I think you need to be 18, but...
I could get it.
You could get it.
You could get it.
I'm not...
You
could go. I don't drive. I never speed. That's like my driving style is I don't speed. I always like am very, very cautious driver. So I feel like I would be the slowest person if I went to driving school.
You like accelerating, though.
What kind of weird statement is that?
It's true,
you're
though.
You're describing my, like, if I had a Tinder bio still, would it say, likes to accelerate? Like, that's not a compliment.
but when you drive, you occasionally like to push the pedal down to get really good acceleration, especially in your cars that you've driven. You don't do it as much now, but when I first moved out to L.A.,
Oh, I see what you're talking about. Because, yeah, I have a Tesla. So Ooh. When I first got it, it was like, oh, look, it can go fast. And then I never do it again. It's like I get people in the car once. I do the trick where I turn on the autopilot and then I turn around and look at everyone, which now I realize was an incredibly stupid thing to do because the software back then was way worse than it is now. And even now, it's not 100% good. Long story short, I'm still a very cautious driver, but occasionally I go fast.
I mean, I'm terrified of people on the roads, the public roads.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because you drive professionally, being on the track with people that do it professionally is safer to you.
Yes.
Significantly.
Much. And like, obviously there's medical teams like stationed all around the track. You've got your corner workers and everything. Like, it's such a safe environment like for you to just send it. But public roads, like, I feel like nobody knows what they're doing out here.
Wow.
Yeah. How judgmental are you on the road? Being a professional, you're just driving through and everybody's like, oh, that's not how you pass somebody. I'll show you how to pass somebody.
Literally on the way here being like, what are you doing? Like, why?
Oh, yeah. No, I recently got back from Austin. I feel like Austin drivers are intentionally trying to cause accidents because there's also the problem with people on scooters going all the way around the city. Because I don't like scooters at all, but I also commute occasionally on my e-bike. And it's like I like the idea of bike lanes, but people, when they hop on these scooters that can go 40 miles an hour, they just like will fly through an intersection. There was one guy at 10 p.m. who was doing donuts just in a normal intersection. And then a bunch of other scooter guys were like, that looks like fun. And then they hopped on there. Some people got their phone out, got one of the scooters, rented it, and then started doing donuts, just like spinning in circles in the middle of this intersection. I'm sitting there like, why?
They started a scooter gang. Yeah. They're going to get their Pokemon cards with them, their Pokeballs, and just Scooty-Doo over to a gym. Throw Pokeballs at people working out.
You know,
out.
Pokemon's not real, man.
Yeah, but some people believe it. I just thought...
Pokemon Go now.
That came out like, what, 6 years ago? Do you still play Pokemon Go? No. Yeah, no, I didn't think so.
I don't either.
Yeah. I don't know. Our friend Pam, she has like on her phone and another phone and then three like wearables that she's hacked in to have five separate Pokemon Go accounts just so she can get better chances of getting things.
No way.
It's kind of an upset. I don't mean to call Pam out like this like on the show, but it is a bit of an obsession. There is one thing, and I promise we'll get back to you, but I like talking about me. You're good. There's one thing that I did try that was my first foray into more of an extreme motorized, not a sport. Have you ever ridden an electric unicycle? Oh.
Can't say I have.
So an electric unicycle is exactly as it sounds. It's a motor. It's an electric motor unicycle. It is incredibly difficult to ride, but there are some units that can go up to 70 miles an hour. Literally. And they've got like full suspension in them. They're one of the most efficient, like from a perspective of energy consumption, they're one of the most efficient electrical vehicles to travel on, but they are unbelievably dangerous. They're like so horrendously dangerous. You have to wear your full body armor, full like helmet. You might as well just wear a motorcycle helmet when you're doing that. It's just like, and I'm not good at it, but I'm slowly learning.
How hard is it to balance?
Unbelievable. I've never ridden a unicycle before, but I hear it's nothing like that. Like, it's just like, it's these, this just bizarre thing. Cause I have a bunch of friends over at Corridor Digital and they all have the one wheel. Have you heard of the one wheel? Man.
I'm a four wheel girl.
Fine. Whatever. But the one wheel is like it's not an electric unicycle, but it has one wheel and it's more like I've heard it equated to snowboarding on land. Mm-hmm. And they really like that. It's a lot easier to balance. And I looked at them and I was like, oh, that looks really fun. Hey, there's this harder thing to do. I'll try that. And all of them were like, you're fucking nuts for trying this. Like none of them have done it. I still haven't done it, but I do get an appreciation for once you get something like that and it's exciting and it's fun and then you just want to do it more, and I imagine sometime down the road there's going to be electric unicycle racing leagues or something like that, and it's horribly dangerous because I know motocross is a thing and
it already exists.
Oh, it does. Well, I was about to say you heard it here first, but
anyway, so
pretty much if you think of it, I bet you it already exists.
Oh, that's so harsh, man.
No, I'm not saying it directly to you. I
have original thoughts, I swear.
That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm saying that if somebody thinks of it, somebody else has probably thought of it and already started it. Uh-huh. Especially when it comes to sport, because sport gets jumped on so quick when an idea comes out. Because like pickleball just came out like a few years ago and all of a sudden it's blown up to be a massive national thing, an international thing. Oh. And that originated from two people being up in Seattle going on a vacation and literally using their dog's ball with paddles. Their dog's name was Pickle, hence why it's called pickleball.
Oh.
See, that's what I do on this podcast all the time. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. And then I forget about it. And it just goes away.
Yeah.
It's and like it's gone.
Into the night. Yeah.
But you were mentioning like in the classification of driving with the Pro-Am, you were talking about the two different classifications of drivers. Is that like when you have two drivers running in the same like 12-hour run car?
Yeah. So for example, like in endurance racing, ranges from like 4 hours all the way up to 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And in a 24-hour race, you'll probably have like three to five drivers in the car. And then, yeah, so you basically, based on your driver classification, that's what class you run in during the race. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it does, but also it doesn't. Is it, how big is the car?
How big is the car?
Five people in the car?
No, you said
it's a two-door.
You got two people in the front with two steering wheels, and you just press a button.
No, that's what I'm imagining. Like, is that not what it is? How do you do it then?
Someone's holding on to the wing, you know?
That's what I was thinking. Like, are they, like, how many people? It's a clown car of race car drivers. That would be fun, though, because then you have to carry everything, everyone. They're not things. They're people. You have to carry everyone to the next place, and then you can only change out the next time. But how does it actually work?
So basically, we're in the car one person at a time.
How you said it sounded like there's one steering wheel. Okay. We went over that.
Yeah.
Four wheels, two doors, one trunk, one steering wheel. We went over it.
Yeah. I'm alone with my thoughts in the car one at a time.
Okay.
But basically, for example, in a 24-hour race, let's say I'm in the car for 2 hours at a time. You can only be in the car for 2 hours at a time maximum. But then I'll hop out during a pit stop. We'll do a driver change. My co-driver could be in for like an hour, and then like I could hop back in for 2 hours, and it's just based on strategy. But we're basically hopping in and out. The car runs the full 24 hours, but the drivers don't.
Yeah.
I think we would be delirious.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Is Le Mans on your circuit?
I'm planning to do that hopefully next year.
That's exciting.
I'm going to watch this year. It's the 100th year anniversary, so I'm just going to go check it out. But it's basically the most prestigious endurance race in the world, and that's basically like my ultimate goal. I don't know if you've watched Ford versus Ferrari.
I have not.
I told him about it on the Motorsports Primer, but he probably forgot.
And it's gone.
So, Le Mans.
Le Mans.
What is that like the bicycle one? What's it?
No, it is not the Tour de France.
Yeah, but for cars.
No. It's a 24-hour endurance race.
Isn't that what the Tour de France is?
No. The Tour de France is multiple days.
Oh, okay.
And multiple different tracks. Le Mans is one track, 24 hours.
This is actually a serious question. How do you consider yourself when it comes to an athlete, right? Because we recently had a big debate about professional wrestling. And he was saying that they weren't athletes.
No. I said they are athletes. I said it's not a sport.
He was being very, very selective about his definitions here. Ooh. So when it comes down to a race car driver, I know that it takes a lot more than people think. I've seen videos of people doing like neck training to try to resist the G-forces. And I understand that being in a car, and I watched that Mythbusters episode about NASCAR or the stock car racing, and like do you have
power steering? Is that what you're talking about? Power steering?
Yeah, power steering and then like hydraulic brakes like were ripped out for weight considerations. Is that the same for your cars that you drive?
It's similar. Well, in my car, we do have power steering and there is a brake assist a little bit. But in a brake zone, I'm basically pushing like 90 pounds of pressure into the brake pedal. And it can reach up to temperatures of like 130 degrees in the cockpit if it's like hot outside ambient wise. So you do lose, like, for example, if I'm in the car for 2 hours, like I could lose 2 pounds of water weight. So I am training. I'm training 5 times a week in the gym doing like cardiovascular endurance stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm like curious, like what your definition of what qualifies as a sport?
So, I mean, we talked about it on our very first episode of the podcast, but it's a governing body with governing rules. Usually for me, it's like skill or athleticism, clear competition, defined competition. So you have defined winning in terms of winning, and then it's repeatable so that it can be something that you can have one game. And then the next game is this so similar that the results are not varied so dynamically because they suddenly have different rules versus another, or somebody judges it distinctly different than another thing. And so those are the key parts for me in defining a sport that makes sense. But with professional wrestling, they're insanely athletic, but it's scripted. A lot of the stuff that they're doing is more theater based. And so there's like, you know, the punches aren't like full punches like in boxing. They're doing stunts and stuff, but they're purposely trying to land on their elbows and not put their full body weight on the other person, which is why I said it's not a sport. But I know about the amount that race car drivers have to go through, especially I watched a bunch of Formula One stuff and their neck muscles. Insane the amount of G's they go through. And so do you do like neck strengthening exercise when you do your cardio stuff as well?
I do. So I used to race in a class called GT4 and there wasn't as much G-forces, but now moving into GT3, now I am having to do these kinds of neck exercises because we are pulling like maybe like 2 or 3 G's during a race, depending on the track, obviously. But yeah, getting that tree trunk neck.
Damn. I got it right here. It's a wrestling.
Yeah, no, when I was growing up, I did wrestling, and one of my best strengths was doing neck bridges. Like just neck bridge in wrestling is when they've got you, you're losing. So it's not a great position to be in. But if you use all your neck muscles, you can lift your whole body up with just your neck. Terrible idea, because it could lead to horrendous injuries. And I still have kind of a tweak in my neck from some of those days. But I could have been a race car driver.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, but to wrap up, the question is like, so you would consider yourself fully an athlete?
I would consider myself an athlete, yes.
Do you find that you have to defend that online?
Yes, for sure. Yeah. I mean, like, there's tons of people who are like, oh, you know, racing isn't a sport, because they don't see, you know, the training that goes into it. All they see is like, oh, you're just sitting, driving a car around a track. They don't understand, like, the amount of G-forces or the amount of, like, pressures where you're, like, pushing on the brake pedal, for example.
Yeah.
Reaction time.
Even, like,
time.
The temperatures and, like, yeah.
The mental time. Aspect alone, because there's a lot of debate whether, like, chess is a sport or something like that, because it fits a lot of your criteria.
Correct.
But at the same time, people are like, well, if there's not athleticism behind it, it doesn't qualify. And even me being, like, outside of the sporting world, I know that those kinds of, you know, pressures that you have on yourself and the mental reaction speed and the kind of like elevated level of presence of mind you need to have when you're racing for that long and when you're this close to wiping out completely. I'm scared to drive just on the highway. I can't imagine. What's the top speeds that you go at when you're driving?
I'd say it's based on the track, but I'd say my top speed 185 miles per hour around Daytona, for example.
Is that the fastest you've ever gone?
In a race car, yes.
Okay.
But in a car, no.
What's the fastest you've ever gone?
Over 200.
Yes!
Well, you're saying like it's so shady. Like,
I hit 210.
When did you hit 210?
I'm not talking about it.
When did you hit? Wait, no, what in the hell will you do?
I was on 275. It was late at night and I was going downhill and I was flooring it.
Hit 210?
Hit 210.
On 275?
Yep.
How many years ago? Are you in the statute of limitations?
They have to have witnessed that, I believe. I also don't live in Ohio anymore, so.
I don't think that saves you. It's all lies. It's not
professional
real.
Driver, closed course.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was definitely a closed course. It was nothing there.
Absolutely.
In Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The 275 loop of Mexico. Definitely.
So. Actually, it was in Germany. It was on the Autobahn.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's no, in the sections where there's no speed limit.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I've gone 600 miles an hour in a plane, but that's about the fastest I've ever gone.
All right. I was like,
we're
what
all
car are you
hurtling
driving?
Around the sun at tens of thousands of miles an hour, and the sun is moving around the galactic rim at hundreds of thousands of miles an hour. So we're all creatures of speed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so if you time it right, if you're in the car when it's going the same direction in which the Earth is spinning, and also at the exact point in which it's rotating, you're going significantly faster.
Big brain.
Yeah. You don't have to give him anything. You're like, you can literally shoot down all of his crazy ideas.
So I recently watched a video. There's a Formula One driver who was running the same track over and over, and he's going into the final turn before where the starting and finish line was. And he was millimeters from the wall every time, because everything is fractions of inches, especially when you're trying to get the perfect line. And he noticed the wall moved because somebody wrecked behind him and the wall ended up jutting out like 80 millimeters and it ended up making him wreck. And when he went into the pit stop, everybody's like, so what happened? What happened? He's like, I think the wall moved, because he knew his line so well. Mm. Are there any tracks in particular where you feel like you know the line so well that you would notice if something moved like the wall?
That's actually so crazy. And they're like, the amount of precision they need to do that, it's mm-hmm. like mind blowing. But for me personally, I feel like probably a track I've run on many, many times is COTA, a Circuit of the Americas, which I am going to next weekend or this weekend. So F1 track, I would probably notice if they did replace the sausage curving. Mm-hmm. So notice little things like that. Wall wise, maybe I was just at NOLA. In New Orleans, and there's like a wall like right as you're coming on the front straight, and I feel like I would probably notice there. Yeah, for sure.
Is there a favorite track of yours that you know really well and have like think you have the best line?
Ooh. I want to say VIR, which is here in the US as well. It was where I had my very first race. So I've been there like multiple times, countless times. And it's just a lot of, it's so much fun. And I pretty much know it down. But I think my favorite track of all time would be Spa. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I haven't heard of that one.
But it's like, it's an F1 track and it's infamous for this corner called Eau Rouge, which is basically like, we're flat out, we're probably going like 200 kilometers per hour. Mm-hmm. Like straight up this hill, this twisty hill. And it's basically like a point and shoot. Like if you screw up the first part, you're not making it at the top.
Is it like one of those you have to really know the track?
Yeah, it's like full commitment kind of thing.
Well, that's my question is, how do you even get to new tracks? How do you even get the preparation? What preparation goes in at all to these? Is it Gran Turismo?
Well, a lot of drivers do sim racing to prep for a track that they've never been before because it's like really good for visual training. But for me personally, I don't have a sim yet. but I will watch like a YouTube video just to get a sense of like where the track's going. For example, I don't know if you know of Nürburgring, but it's a 20 kilometer track. There's, I don't know, like over 100 corners. And I learned it through a YouTube video, basically.
You know, that's so funny because it makes sense. You're not feeling it. I mean, I guess in a sim, you're not really feeling the G's. But me and my girlfriend sometimes watch this video where it's just someone driving from Seoul to Busan in Korea. Mm-hmm. And it's such a relaxing drive. But I've watched it so many times now. I feel like I know that drive really well. And I feel, and I've also, my family has taken me on that drive before, but it's just like kind of a weird familiar thing of using YouTube as a learning resource in ways that people never could imagine. Cause there's like car repair tutorials. I didn't know that there would be race car track tutorials on these websites.
Also, to correct you, proper sims nowadays can simulate the G's.
Yeah, there's like motion, but I literally don't think it can compare.
Not to the same extreme.
Yeah. Not to the same extent.
You. I just used a motion control rig on my latest project. I think I know a little bit more about motion sims than you do, pal. And they can do some G's, but this one capped out at half a G. Excuse you. I really did. It was this crazy thing called the NACMO. And I imagine it's something that's similar that goes into a lot of these motion rigs because the principles are all the same. You have a big pump pumping oil into big pistons and then it goes whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. So I have definitely an appreciation for those types of things because my background is in engineering. I didn't graduate, as many people remind me on the internet. But it was a choice. I didn't flunk out or anything. But I love mechanics, and I love that. Does that play into your love of racing at all? The love of the mechanics side of it, the engineering behind the car?
I can appreciate it. I don't have any knowledge.
Really?
Yeah, people are like always asking me like about specific stuff about the engine. I'm like, I just drive the car.
Which honestly was something I was actually really curious about. A lot of athletes, when you're an athlete, especially getting in the professional ranks, you really know your body. Mm-hmm. And is that the same when you can like kind of tell when something's just off with the car? Like you're just driving and it's like something's a little tight, something's a little loose.
Yeah.
And even if you don't know like the technicalities, is how do you like communicate that? I'm really curious.
For sure. So like I'm pretty in tune with how the car feels. Like even though I won't be able to say specifically like what part it is necessarily, like I'll talk to my engineer after the race and be like, oh, you know, the car's understeering a little bit here, or it feels like a bit like the wheel in the back is like shaking or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Or like maybe the wheel isn't straight. I can pretty much talk about everything set up and suspension wise, but if you start talking to me about like very specific like engine parts and stuff, I'm like, I don't know. I do not know.
Yeah. Honestly, I wouldn't be able to say either because I don't know anything about, I'm not a car guy in general. I just like, again, I bought a car because it's like, it seems nice and it goes fast. But it's like down to that like intuitive knowledge. It's a lot of athletes that we talk about in sports. They train to such a level that they do have this like unconscious understanding of what is going on with the sport. And it's like when you learn your first languages, you don't know why you say words the way you do. It's just unconscious. Like you're taught grammar later. So it's like you don't know the grammar of the car, but you know the car and how to use it perfectly. And I think like, honestly, I think that might be a bit of an advantage because you would And again, I'm not a racer, so I'm just speaking wild conjecture here. But it allows you to like bypass the overthinking of things. It's like, you know when something's wrong, you can feel it. And and that's how like I like to make content. It's like, it's based on a feeling. I didn't go to film school. I didn't take writing classes, but I know when it feels right and when it feels wrong. And sometimes something feeling wrong could be a much deeper understanding of something than if someone who went to school for it. Then again, there's always someone who went to school for it that's going to lecture me about what I know, and that's fine. They can have their opinions. I don't really care.
Oh, it's funny that you bring out the overthinking part, because like literally at the end of a 24-hour race and you feel like a little vibration somewhere and you start like overthinking about it, like, oh my God, is the car going to break? Or maybe the part's like not good. But yeah, definitely. I feel like it could be an advantage for sure.
I have that when I'm on my bike and I'm going, I recently wiped out on my bike, but it was because it was rainy and this lady was walking her dog and I was like trying to avoid it and the road was inclined and I slipped. I always think, and I know the principles behind it. I know the metal's strong enough, but I think anytime I go up over 20 miles an hour on my bicycle, I think it's just going to break in half and I'm just going to like fly apart. Like everything is going to go on the road. And there's no logic behind it, but that's just what I feel.
That's actually really funny that you say that, because that's me with rock climbing. I feel more comfortable without safety gear than with it, because I trust myself.
That's not the point I was making.
I know, but I'm getting to it. It's, I fear the stuff breaking and falling apart.
Oh.
So that if, to me, it's like, move it out of my way and have it not be there instead. And it's just me, as opposed to having it there, because I don't trust
the
it.
The equivalent here is you would be worried about the wall falling apart as opposed to the safety equipment.
I mean, that does happen.
Does it? Tell me that.
Well, nature is unpredictable, but also the fact that sometimes the handholds aren't secured properly. They get loose as people climb, but most places check them all the time. I've definitely had holds spin on me when I was using them, but we won't get into that. No,
anyway.
That's terrifying.
It's fine. You usually have other holds if you're smart.
Anyway, back to racing, I think. Sorry, I was just thrown off so hard. I have no idea what we were even talking about. Have you had any close calls? Have you ever crashed?
Oh, yes. I feel like crashing is part of the sport. It's part about, like, if you don't crash, you're not going fast enough.
Are you sure? I'm not a risk.
I haven't crashed. Go faster.
There's a balance for sure. One of my biggest crashes was in 2017. I was at a track called Road America, and there's this very infamous corner called the Kink. It basically leads onto the back straight, but everybody tells you, they're like, you can go flat through there. So I tried it. And understeered into the grass a little bit, and then like tried to bring it back onto the track, and my front right wheel basically got more grip, and then it just like swung me into the wall at 100 miles per hour. Walked out. I was fine. Sprained my ankle, but totally my own fault, because I kept my foot on the brake pedal, you know, fight or flight response.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to pull your arms and your legs in before you have impact. But anyway, walked out, was completely fine.
Like tuck into a ball?
Basically like this, yeah.
It's almost like tucking and rolling, except you don't pull your knees up. That's fascinating. I never would have thought of that.
Yeah, you don't want your feet to get caught in the pedals. You don't want your hands to get caught in the wheel. Like it's easy to break your wrists.
Yeah.
In your classification of racing, are you required the full visor face guard?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I wear like 3 layers of fireproof clothing. And then I have like my helmet, and I have this device called a Hans. It's like full carbon fiber, basically like protects my neck and my spine.
Mm-hmm.
It'll break my collarbones if an impact, if it's going to danger this area. But it's all very safe now.
Yeah, it saves That's your good. Life, but your collarbones will suffer.
Yeah.
Well, collarbones can be repaired, I think. I don't know. Can they?
I don't know. I haven't. Yes.
All right, let's hope.
Yes, many, many, many people, many athletes across many different sections of sport have broken collarbones and come back. So
great.
Let's hope that never happens.
All right. But if it does, you're covered, I think, is a little the conclusion here.
Yeah.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.
I was actually curious, when you're getting ready for a race, you usually don't have races back to back to back to back like some sports do, like baseball when they have double headers, right?
Well, I do.
They do?
So, well, in America, I'm in a sprint series, so I have two races per weekend. So okay. One on Saturday and one on Sunday. And just this year, I'm in a bunch of series, so I basically have races every weekend.
Are they the same track or different tracks?
Different tracks, okay. Yeah. For the series in America, it's at the same track.
Okay.
But...
So how do you, like, preparation-wise, obviously you're running through the turns, you're trying to remember everything in the track. Do you have any, like, superstitions or rituals that you do beforehand to just kind of get you in that zen, get you in that zone to keep your focus up?
Yeah, for sure. Like, everybody thinks that race car drivers are fearless, but, like, I get so nervous before I get in the car. A lot of anxiety. But for me personally, what I do is I'll just, like, throw on some headphones, listen, like, blast music, and try to find, like, a little quiet corner. I'll, like, hide from the TV crew in my little pit box and just kind of, like, vibe out. But basically, once the helmet goes on and I get in the car, everything kind of just, like, fades away.
Do you have required media time before and after races, like some athletes, or is it?
Yeah. I mean, on some race weekends, it varies, but there's, like, a live pit crew or pit media crew that walks around and, like, interviews people, and I always get super nervous, so I'm like, not this time, guys, but...
I have a few questions. Do you... first off, I'm assuming this is a yes, but do you still like racing?
Yes.
Even if you're coming into the professional world, I always wonder when you start to get to a certain level, and then I imagine there's politics in racing. Mm-hmm. I imagine there's, like, favoritism. I imagine there's there might be prejudice, you know, there might be sexism. There might be all these different factors that would detract from the original purpose of just, like, wanting to race. Do you still, with all that aside, do you still enjoy the process, the entire process, or are there, like, parts of it that are really just a drain?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like as in with every sport, there's a lot of pressures, right? And there definitely have been some times where I'm just like, oh my God, like, this is a bit much. Like, what if I just give up? But obviously kept pushing and just like, it's a lot of self-doubt, right? And there is a lot of like prejudice, like you said, but thankfully I've stuck to it. And it's all about finding or like remembering why you started. Like every time I kind of feel that way, I think about like the little version of me and like why she started getting into it and like all the successes we've had over the past like few years. And I mean, this month particularly was pretty rough for us. Like we had a lot of bad luck, like 3 race weekends, 4 races, and I only finished one because like there were just mechanical issues. So I got taken out in my second race in Italy. And there's just these times where like it feels like everything's working against you. But I mean, that's just part of racing. It's like there's these super high highs and these low lows, and you just really have to learn to, you know, be resilient or find that resilience and find that confidence in yourself to just pick yourself back up and keep going.
Do you feel like as a professional athlete, there's an extra layer of spotlight on you to be somebody who's a positive role model or somebody that inspires future generations to take up the mantle and then also become race car drivers?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like specifically even like as a woman in motorsport, there's so few of us. Like I was just telling somebody in Italy, there was like, we were at our driver's meeting. There were 160 drivers and only 5 of us were women. So it's like a very big majority male dominated sport. And so like with that, there are these pressures to feel like you always have to perform because it's like you have so many people like looking up to you or like seeing you as a role model. And there is that pressure to like almost be perfect all the time. But you got to remember you're only human. You know, we all make mistakes. And, you know, just being in the sport and like competing in it, I think like it just moves the needle for the rest of us or other women in motorsport for sure.
Yeah. Do you feel like the pressure is both crushing or more inspiring? Because thinking about all the people that you can inspire to also push their way into something that otherwise they'd be kicked out of or looked as just ostracized.
For sure. I mean, like, that's what drives me, is like being able to inspire and empower other girls, for example. Like, I've had people come up to me and say things like, oh my God, I didn't know like women could be race car drivers, right? And so, or like somebody saying something like, oh, you're the reason why I got into motorsport. Like that was always like so heartwarming for me. But yeah.
Why you both look at me like just, that?
I was listening.
I was admiring. It was beautiful.
No, it's fine.
I'm inspired, yeah. Guys.
So we have one more question because it's the title of the podcast. Uh-huh. You have your own racing team that you're a co-owner of. So obviously that's going to be your favorite team. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, who is a team that you root for or look and enjoy watching? Somebody you cheer for, somebody you think paves the way, or somebody who inspired you perhaps. Who is your favorite sports person or sports team?
Ooh, I have a few. Specifically in sports car racing, there is this team called the Iron Dames.
Okay.
It's an all-female team. They race both in Europe and the US, but they've been absolutely killing it recently, and it's just been awesome to see their progress, and it's very inspiring for me, especially as a woman in sports car racing. And then on the F1 side, I did get the opportunity to meet Max and Checo from Red Bull Racing last year. They were awesome, and they've been killing it in F1 as well. So yeah. I'm always rooting for them, and Charles Leclerc from Ferrari, because I'm a big Ferrari fan. So
nice.
That's awesome. If there was something that you could say to people out there, because I've learned so much today just in like the fact that there are racing schools that you can go to. I did not know that, but it makes complete sense. If you could say something to people out there who not as an inspiration, obviously you're already doing it and you're inspiring people. I'm talking about people that are not fans of sports. Why should people watch racing in general? Because I think there's a lot of people out there, and it's unfair. It's like they only know racing as NASCAR, and they just turn left. It's like, what could you say to people to kind of convince them to give it a shot? Like, watch something, where they can watch something, what they can watch, how they can watch, and why they should appreciate it.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of sports car racing specifically, we've been growing a lot on like streaming platforms like YouTube, for example. And why should you watch it? I feel like there's so many interesting personalities in the sports car paddock. I mean, there's so many really cool stories of people who've like, you know, grown up through touring car, for example, like myself, or people who, you know, came from nothing and have been just building their brand. I think it's like super inspiring to see like so many people in the paddock, like a lot of my friends. But overall, lost my train of thought a little bit there, but
no, that's perfect.
Yeah, again, I think like racing is just super interesting. I mean, if you want to get into it, I think Drive to Survive on Netflix is like your entryway. It's like the gateway drug.
Drive to Survive. I gotta look that up. That sounds cool.
Into racing, for example, but yeah.
Drive to Survive.
That's all cool. Right. Well, last thing, if you want to shout out anything, maybe your sponsors, or just tell people where they can find you, where they can follow you, how they can, if they're interested in this, we want to highlight you more than anything. So here's your chance to showcase and talk about what you do and what all places people can find you.
Yeah. I mean, we talked a little bit about it at the beginning, but shout out to BMW for being such a big sponsor of mine and such a great support over the years. Motul. As well as my team, like everybody on my team, thank you all for supporting me throughout the years. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, you name it. We're on literally everything. Samantha Tan Racing, as well as Samantha Tan. So,
and then how about something completely non-racing related? Mm-hmm. What do you like to do when you're not racing? Just like spare time, hobby, it could be nothing. I sit around
get angry at League of Legends.
I feel like there's no other way to play League of Legends than angry. That's why I can't do it.
Oh, that's so funny, because at first, like, how do you relax? And I'm like, I play League, which is like so toxic and not good for my mental sanity, but.
Do you play any other games that are more relaxed?
Genshin Impact.
Okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's like my cozy game for sure, but I'm definitely on League and Valorant a lot.
Fair.
Do you stream?
I used to, not so much anymore, but we do have our own sim racing and esports team. So you can find us on Twitch at SamanthaTan Racing. We do stream like sim racing, as well as we do have a camera in my car. So you can actually like sit passenger with me during a race.
Whoa.
Is that live stream?
Yeah, it's live stream.
Oh my God.
Well, that's cool. Why didn't you mention that?
Yeah,
first?
Like, wait.
The whole thing of like getting people interested, I'm like, I want to watch that. How do I watch that?
Yeah, we have so much going on. I almost forgot about it. Okay. But yeah, you can sit passenger with me. So
how?
Catch us on Twitch.
On Twitch, okay.
Twitch, cool. Samantha Tan Racing.
Yes.
That's awesome. I want to see that. I imagine it's the same category of people that drive like Euro Truck Simulator for like 10 hours, but I'm going to skip past them and then I'm going to find that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It has been great chatting with you. It's been eye-opening experience even for me as somebody who like looks at the race car driving like section of sport and just knows so little. It was phenomenal. I'm so excited, and I'm definitely going to check out your races from now on. I'm excited about it. Mark, anything you want to say?
I learned that your car has two doors, four wheels, one steering wheel, and there's five people stuffed in the trunk. That's what I learned.
All with different steering wheels that you press a switch so the other person takes
No, over. No, they got to hold the steering wheel while they're stuffed in the trunk, and then you pull yours off, you hop in the trunk, and pop theirs on. It's really fun.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
Oh, cool.
Really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, you can follow us on socials and stuff.
Who but cares about
more
that?
Than anything, check out everything that Samantha does. It's incredible.
Thank you.
And we'll
and
see
roast
you.
Roast NASCAR.
Yeah, roast NASCAR.
Yeah,
they're not really NASCAR. Stock cars.
And hey, BMW, listen. You should pay Samantha more money. If you do...
Maybe we'll do another interview in a BMW.
I tried that once. Not to make this last any longer than it was. Not in a BMW. So like there's this other, I'm going to just a little more. There's this other YouTuber with the name of Captain Sparkles, right?
Oh,
so he's
yeah.
a big car guy. Oh, you know Captain Sparkles? Surprise, there's a secret person sitting behind the camera. Over here.
Been hidden the whole time.
So he spent, I won't say what car it is. If you look at the video, you'll find out. But just in case BMW gets mad, because it might or may not be a BMW. But he got this car that was like this super fancy car. Will cut his a- I don't know if it matters. I have no idea. But
it's the car that beat Ferrari.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
If I watched the movie, I would know that. but he did this series where it was like riding the car, and then we'll do like this little interview talk podcast thing, and then we drive up in Angela's Crest. And so I don't do fast, and he's like driving up, and I'm sure you've driven up Angela's Crest, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you've driven up fast. Imagine going half the speed you would, which is probably still fast. And me just like this with the engine as loud as it is right here, and him trying to talk to me there. I was like, yeah, I like cars, I guess. Just so I will never do that again.
Oh, you cool. don't want to sit passenger with me?
Yeah.
I'll take you on the track.
I'm good. Thanks.
I'll go. I'm down.
I'm all right. I don't ride motorcycles anymore because I had one close call and I'm like, nah, I'm done. That's good. I was lane splitting up the 405, not fast or anything. Like it was just like the carpool lane that was going by, and there was this bus that was on the left in the carpool lane. And then there was a semi over on the right, and the bus's mirror and the semi's like wheel cover made this perfect thing that if I didn't cram down and crank my head here, I would have hit either the bus mirror or been into the semi's wheels. And after that, I was like, never again. And I never rode a motorcycle again after that. So I'm a little safety conscious.
It's okay. You can be the pit crew.
I'll be in the trunk with another steering wheel in case you guys need it. If you hear some thumping back there, it means I'm having fun.
Good to know. Good to know. When we hit bumps and stuff and you're
jumping
up
and down. Yeah, hit them hard. All right. Anyway, we can end this.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for enjoying. Watch the video exclusively on Spotify, and you can listen everywhere else.
They already watched it.
I don't know. They might not be watching
it. Oh, okay.
People right, cool. listen on other platforms.
It's the end of the episode.
Oh, well, then fine. We'll just say bye.
We'll put it in the beginning that you can watch this on video only on Spotify.
Yes. Cool. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Do you have to do the clap?
Yeah, clap end.